Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Crossland, Corsa and Mokka. Three good reasons to visit the Opel Open Road event.
Data from the ESRI suggests people are increasingly worried about COVID, and it's likely that society will bear long-term psychological scarring because of what's happening. For more on this, I'm joined by Professor Pete Lunn, head of the ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit. Good morning to you.
Morning, Claire.
Thanks for joining us. Before we talk about what I just mentioned there, the psychological scarring and the worry, I'm just interested to see in your study that the vaccination status of the people who are going to cafes, restaurants and pubs has been examined by your latest research. And you found that there's an equal number of vaccinated and unvaccinated people going indoors and sitting inside in pubs and restaurants.
I wouldn't go quite as far as that, Claire, to be honest, no. But we do find that there are more unvaccinated people going to pubs and restaurants than you might think. So I can explain briefly. So what we find is that if you take the proportion of the population each week or each day that visits a cafe, a pub or a restaurant, the proportion of unvaccinated people who are going indoors into cafes, pubs and restaurants is a little over half the proportion of the vaccinated. So in other words, you're slightly more than half as likely to go if you're unvaccinated to sit in or eat in. But more so actually that the proportion is slightly higher in pubs or restaurants. So unvaccinated people are not getting into pubs and restaurants as much as vaccinated people are, but they are doing so more than half the amount, and in pubs and restaurants a bit more again. Not as much as vaccinated people, but not far off. So they're clearly finding places that they can get in.
But they're supposed to have their certs checked at the door and their ID checked, and clearly that's not happening in all cases, given what you found in this research.
Yes, that's completely right. So, I mean, we've consistently found actually for a period of two or three months now that around a quarter to a third of the people who we study, and they talk to us anonymously online and tell us where they've been and what's happened to them in the places that they go to and so on. And what we find is between a quarter and a third of the people who are visiting cafes, pubs and restaurants to dine or drink in don't have their COVID cert checked. And that's hardly changed, to be honest, in recent weeks.
Okay. And that's what you're seeing in that latest research as well. Now, let's talk about this long-term scarring that society is likely to experience because of the pandemic. What are you seeing?
Well, it's not so much what we're seeing as kind of strains of research that are long-standing, actually, in both economics and psychology, that if you go through an extended period that demands that you change your behavior, where everybody is affected, where there is a degree of trauma involved, it tends to have long-term impacts. So if you look at the economics or the psychology scientific literatures on large depressions, on wartime, and indeed on previous pandemics, you do find that there is a kind of knock-on effect for people's psychological well-being and how they approach life in the future. I mean, simple things include if you are a young adult at the time, for example, of a very severe recession, it makes you more kind of financially cautious later in life, and it changes some of your financial behaviors. We know as well that people who are children during wartime tend to have a kind of somewhat different psychological outlook in the long run. Now, all these effects are, of course, on average, but given how long the pandemic is now going on, when one looks at those scientific literatures, it would be quite surprising if it didn't, for the group of us who've all lived through it, have some kind of long-term scarring effect.
Negative or positive scarring effect?
Well, it can be both, and that's very interesting, actually. So what we can see in our data at the moment is that there are very few people who actually want to return to life before the pandemic. And that suggests to us that the large majority of people have actually found some positive things that they would like to change, that they don't actually want to go back to the way everything was before. But of course, some of it absolutely is likely to be negative. We've seen very strong effects on people's well-being, particularly low well-being among younger adults. And our data actually suggests that younger adults are the most likely people in society at the moment to feel loneliness, more likely than older adults. So some of that scarring is bound to be negative, but we do also see positive effects of people not wanting to return to life pre-pandemic because there are some things they've found that they definitely want to change.
And do you know why the public's level of fear and anxiety is back at the same levels as it was last spring?
Well, almost certainly it's to do with what's happening in the health service and the reintroduction of restrictions. So what we find is, yeah, you're right, there's been a substantial increase in worry in recent weeks about the coronavirus. That is not confined to older or younger people. It's slightly stronger among the older people, which, given their, for those who haven't been had a booster yet, it is clearly likely to be related to the exact risk that they face. But we find across all genders and age groups and socioeconomic groups, there's been an increase in worry over recent weeks. In the past, that tended to be driven by case numbers. But when the vaccine was rolled out, there was a break, actually, in the relationship between how much people worried and how high the case numbers were. But as the hospitalization numbers have gone up, and as we've gone into an environment again where restrictions are being reintroduced, we can really see that that level of concern has gone back up. And as you rightly say, it's back up now at the level that it was when we came out of the so-called level 5 lockdown in kind of April, May time.
Mm-hmm. I remember hearing you say, though, a couple of weeks ago, that the worry is not necessarily translating into behavioural changes now. That's the difference, isn't it?
Well, we do. We have seen some behavioural change. It's not as large as some might have hoped for in response to the latest situation, but we do now see it. So, interestingly, where it has really manifested itself is in people's kind of habitual behaviour when they're out and about. So we haven't seen a large reduction in how much people are leaving their homes and going to locations, or indeed how many people they're meeting. But what we have seen is a real increase in people's caution when they're out and about. So we're seeing the numbers of people who are wearing masks in indoor locations going up again. Now, it was always reasonably high, actually, but it's now actually climbing again. People being more careful about hand sanitation and so on. And in some cases in particular, being a little more careful about keeping their distance. And really interestingly, we've seen a reduction in people visiting other people's homes. And that's a statistically significant drop, that people become less likely to visit others' homes. That's important, actually, because that is one of the locations where you are most at risk, because people tend not to keep their distance and tend not to wear masks in others' homes, and tend to be there for quite a long time indoors. So that reduction is likely to have an impact on the infection level. So we have seen some behaviour change. It's not as big as it might be, but it's definitely there.
And the ESRI research also showed you that people wanted more restrictions in the lead up to Christmas, Pete.
Well, that and the Amoric survey as well, actually, there's been a consistent swing in public opinion over recent weeks where the majority of the population moved to a situation where they did want to see more restrictions brought back in. And actually, by the time of the announcement last week, 90% of the population was expecting new restrictions to be brought back in, as well as the majority supporting them. Now, that's not to say there isn't a minority that really, really didn't want to see them and didn't think it was necessary. I'd say that minority was maybe around sort of 1 in 7, 1 in 8, depending exactly which question in our data you look at. But the majority did want to see restrictions come back in, thought there had to be a response, and expected one too, yes.
Professor Pete Lunn, thank you for joining us on the programme.